Good morning. My name is Steve Walker. I'm one of the assistant ministers here at church, and it's my privilege to be preaching to us this morning. We're departing from our normal series a little bit this morning to think about missions. Normally we go chapter by chapter. Today we're going to be thinking about a theme, and that theme is mission. So I ask the question, what is mission? What does mission mean? Well, like most things, of course, it depends on the context. If we're thinking about in the business world, we're probably thinking about mission statements, the direction that we want our business to go on. If we're in the military world, we're probably thinking mission means something pretty different, right? It's the immediate goal. It's the task at hand. Go and capture that hill or take these people from point A to point B. You can tell I have not much of a military background. But you complete the mission or you don't, and then you move on to the next mission. And then there's the fact that Christians, even today, go on mission. We have beach missions. We have inland missions. We have overseas missions. We support missionaries. In fact, here at Barney's, we set ourselves the task, the goal, of being on mission later in the year in August. But what does that mean? How should Christians understand the term mission? Should we be thinking in that corporate sense, in the military sense, in some other sense? What does it mean to go on mission? What does that look like? What do we do? More importantly, what does Jesus have to say about our mission? What does the Bible have to say about our mission? Well, this is what we'll be thinking about today in our sermon. More specifically, what does John's Gospel have to say about have to teach us about mission? But as always, we need to ask God's help to understand his word, so let's pray together to do that. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, as we start to look at the theme of mission in John's Gospel, the first thing we notice about is that our mission is not the most important one. The first thing is that Jesus is sent with a mission. He's sent to earth to do something. Have a look with me. We're at perhaps the most famous Bible verse in the Western world, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We're looking particularly at verse 17, but I couldn't resist throwing 16 up there for us as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Notice firstly, who is saving the world in these verses? Because it's not the Lord Jesus here. It's not the Son. Do you notice? It's the Father who is saving the world. The Father sends the Son on this mission to save the world. Now, of course, there's plenty that we could say about these verses. They're well-known and favourite verses for Christians for a good reason. And whatever else we say, in just a couple of verses, we have a sort of summary of why God the Son came to earth. It wasn't to just hang out with some guys for a while and it went a bit pear-shaped towards the end. It wasn't to come in and check out things and see how they're going as though he had to become a human to see what was going on. No, he came to save and to give eternal life. But notice too that the Father sends the Son. So for God did not send the Son into the world, but to save the world through him. That is, the Son does not act independently of the Father. He's not like some maverick cop disobeying orders only to be proved right in the end because he does what is right. That's not how it works. The Father sends the Son. The Son goes to earth in obedience to the Father. So far, so good. The Father sends the Son. So what? What's the big deal? Now, normally I wouldn't think to make much of it. It's just that as we read through John thinking about mission, Jesus does make much of this theme. The Lord Jesus himself repeatedly points to the fact that he's been sent by the Father. And it's not just once or twice. It's not a few times in passing, nearly 40 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus refers to the fact that he's sent by the Father. This is a gospel with 21 chapters. So it's in nearly every chapter, over and over again, Jesus comes back to the idea that he's sent by God. It's one of those things that once you start to notice, it starts popping up everywhere you look. Let me show you a few examples from the last few weeks. Jesus comes to do the Father's will and to do his work. So chapter 4, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Chapter 6, a similar idea. "For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day." In chapter 7, we see that Jesus' teaching is not his own, but rather Jesus says, answering them, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me." Again in chapter 7, he says, "I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me." There is a knowledge of the sender that is crucial to this role. And lastly, as if it wasn't already clear, Jesus didn't choose, the sender chose. In chapter 8, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, I didn't choose, but he sent me." And we could keep going, because again and again in John's Gospel, Jesus tells people that he's sent by God. It's important to him that people know that this is how it works. Now, I've just shown us just a handful of times that Jesus does this. But I think it's fair to say that this relational dynamic between the Father and the Son is the unique contribution that the Apostle Paul makes to the concept of mission, the idea of mission. I'll say that again. The idea of God the Father being the sender and the Son being the one who is sent, that idea is the unique contribution of John to the idea of mission. But Jesus does more than just repeat that he's sent by the Father. As he's doing so, he's actually showing us what it means to be sent. He shows us how someone who is sent is supposed to, be sent, to be a sent one, how they're supposed to act. So Jesus shows us that that the sent one is to do the sender's will and to do his work, that those who are sent are to teach what they have been given. They are also to know the sender. The sender chooses, not the sent one. We'll have to just keep going through those slides. We'll catch it up. Now, these will become really important to us in a sec, but before I talk about why, we need to just pause and catch our breath for a sec. We're trying to understand, what does John's Gospel have to say about mission? So far, what we've said is that the Father sends the Son. The Father sends the Son. Two, what did he send him to do? To save the world. The Father saves the world through the Son. We just need to go a little bit further on through those slides to catch up to where we're up to. Keep going through. Yeah, that's it. The Father sends the Son to save the world. So the Father sends the Son to save the world. How does he do this? How does the Father send the Son to save the world? Well, in one sense, the answer is by Jesus dying on the cross. On the cross, Jesus takes God's anger for our sin, our rebellion against God. He takes that anger on himself. He pays the debt that we owe so that there is no more to pay, if we put our trust in him. But I mean the question a bit differently. How does Jesus save the world in the sense of how does he act in the world when he's saving? Well, we saw that he came to do the Father's will. He taught what he has been given and so on. In short, he saves the world by perfectly being the sent one of God. He saves the world by being the sent one of God. Now, I understand that this sounds a bit academic, a bit disconnected to me and my life, but here's where the rubber hits the road. When it comes to our mission, we copy Jesus. There's a massive sense in which everything we've said about Jesus now applies to us. Because when it comes to our mission, Jesus becomes the sender and we are the sent ones. We are sent into the world. We're sent into the world by Jesus, the same way that Jesus was sent into the world by the Father, right? And those who are sent, us, those of us who are sent, we actually follow Jesus' example of what it means to be sent. So we do the will of the sender, just as Jesus did his Father's deal, Father's will, we are to do Jesus' will. Just as Jesus came and taught that which the Father gave him to teach, we are to teach what Jesus gives us to teach. We know the sender intimately. We obey the sender in everything. Jesus is the model of being sent into the world. How he does it, we are to do it. But what's more is that it's not just that we behave the same way. It's that we're actually sent into the world to do the same thing as Jesus. We're sent into the world to save people. That's crazy, right? Let's make sure that the Bible says what I'm saying. So chapter 17 and verse 18, we read the following. Jesus says, "As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." That's pretty clear. Now, this comes in the context of a long prayer that Jesus prays to his Father just before he's arrested, starting the chain of events that eventually leads to the cross. So amongst much else that Jesus has to say, he says, "As you, Father, have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." So what does the Son send his people to do? How are we to save people? Well, there are two parts and they overlap. The first thing the Son sends Christians to do is to proclaim the gospel message. A couple of verses later in chapter 17, verse 20, we read, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe me through their message." Brothers and sisters, we have a message to tell. There's an assumption in this prayer that the disciples, that we are proclaiming the gospel message and that people will believe it. There's an assumption that we are proclaiming this message and people will believe it. I wonder if you have the same assumption. And as a Christian, you heard the gospel message and you put your trust in it and you're saved. It worked for you because now you're a Christian. But do you doubt that others might become a Christian the same way? Do you hesitate to proclaim the gospel because you're not sure if it works? Well, Jesus prays for the people who will believe through our message. Our Lord assumes that our message will see people believe. He's sure it works. May he keep us from doubting. So firstly, he sends us to proclaim the gospel. Secondly, we are to forgive sinners. You heard that right. We forgive sinners. Now, don't take my word for it. Hear Jesus in chapter 20 and verse 23. I'm actually going to read the whole paragraph. So I'm going to go from verse 19, but 23 is the important part. So from verse 19, this is just after the resurrection. "On the evening of that first day, of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" The Lord Jesus sends us to forgive people. His will for us, the work he sets for his people, is to extend forgiveness to others. As people that he has sent into the world, we can declare or withhold forgiveness. What a privilege. We are to do his will and his work. We come from Jesus. We are sent by him to do this. This is what we are sent to do. Now, how does this work? Are we the same as God now? Well, no. Our authority is a delegated authority. It's not ours, it's his. We're acting on Jesus' behalf, speaking the words of the one who sent us. So we can say to people who truly repent back to God, you are forgiven. And we can also say that unless you turn back to God, you will die in your sins. This is the privileged position of the ones who are sent by God. Just as the Father sent the Son into the world, just as the Father sends his Son into the world to save the world, so the Son sends us into the world to save the world. So we, Christians everywhere, have a mission. We have a purpose. We have a reason to live. We have been sent to do something. We save the world. Is there anything as important as that? We save the world by proclaiming the gospel and seeing people believe. We save the world by declaring forgiveness to those who repent and withholding it from those who fail to trust in God and turn back to him. Just as God saved the world through his Son, so the Son saves the world through his sent ones, his people. We are caught up in Jesus' mission to save the world. We get to speak on his behalf and declare sins forgiven. What a privilege. What an honor. What a dignity given to people such as us who are so unworthy of this privilege. So thank you, Jesus, that we get to share in your mission to save the world. Now, before we finish, let's think through a couple of implications of what we've learned. Firstly, if you are a Christian, this is your mission. This is your mission. You have the privileged position of being a proclaimer of the gospel. You get to declare the forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name. Which means it's not just the job of the paid staff. It's the mission of every Christian. If every Christian is sent out into the world by the Son, and the Son sends his people into the world to proclaim the gospel and to declare forgiveness, then every Christian is to do this. Not just the paid staff, not just leaders within our church, all of us. Secondly, and following on from that, church must not be the only place where the gospel is taught and proclaimed. Right? I mean, if Jesus is sending us out into the world to declare the gospel and to forgive sin, then waiting until someone takes up our invitation to come to church can't be the only way that the gospel goes out from us. Now, bringing people to church is awesome. Keep doing it. But we also take the gospel out to people. We take it into their homes. We take it to wherever people are. We take the gospel out. We share the gospel, and if they believe, we can declare their sins forgiven. Then we say, now that you're a Christian, what you need to do is come and be a part of a group of Christians called a church. Come and be a part of my church, or go and be a part of the church near where you live. I'm not fussy, where it's all a part of the kingdom of God. But church must not be the only place where evangelism happens. Evangelism also happens out in the world as Christians are sent out by the Son. So all Christians are to be on mission, and a good part of that should happen in the world. Here's another way of thinking about it that helped me when I was a younger Christian. It's said that there are two types of Christians. There are those who are joining in Jesus' mission and sharing the gospel, and then there are disobedient servants. Now, brothers and sisters, while you think about that, I'm going to have a quick word to those who are not yet Christians among us. If you're not a believer, my question for you this morning is this. What is your life about? What is its reason? What is its purpose? What are you doing here? I mean, doing here in life, not doing here in church. Now, maybe you've got a reasonable answer for that. Maybe you don't. Maybe you've got a good reason. Maybe you think you know what it's all about, but I think you need to hear that you were made for something more. You were made to live with God and to live his way. And I'm saying this morning, if you become a Christian, your life will have a purpose and a meaning that it never had before, because you can join Jesus' mission of saving the world as well as joining God's family. That's worth thinking about. So to finish, brothers and sisters, as the Father sent the Son into the world to save the world, so we are sent out into the world to save the world. So let us go out with the gospel message that saved us, and see that people believe it. Let us declare the forgiveness of sins. Let's get to work. Amen. I'll pray. Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, thank you so much that you chose us to be a part of your mission. Thank you that when you sent the Son, you were sending him to show us what it means to be sent, that we obey, that we know you, that we speak the words you speak and all the rest. Father, as we go out today, we pray that you would help us to get on with the mission of saving people. Father, help us to share the gospel and to declare sin forgiven. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.